Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 30, Episode 5 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah. For May 11th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jacket Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Despite all my gray, I am still just a rat in a cage.
Okay, thank you so much, Mike Mann, and shocking, I just shocked the shit out of Soup Purdue and a hose knee to my left. That was a nice AK, Smashing Pumpkins. As I've said before, if you look on Twitter, the Smashing Pumpkins do follow me, because I tweeted at them that my dream woman is a mixture of Darcy and James Iha. So, yes, shout out to all the Pumpkins fans over there, except for Billy Corgan, because now he's like a weird alt-right dude.
And is he? Yeah. I don't know why I am surprised.
Yeah, bald white guy, like Lex Luthor.
He's like real into wrestling or something. Like all sorts of weird.
A lot of angst, no hair.
Yeah.
We are thrilled to be joined by the person whose voice you just heard. She is a hilarious comedian and podcast host, and just one of the greats.
Thank you.
Sarah June.
Thank you so much. Sarah
what
June.
What is up?
AKA Sarah Diesel. AKA Lil Tudet. I made my first AKAs for this episode.
Yeah,
I always forget to do it.
Yeah, these are really good.
Thank you. I'm doing great. I'm so glad to be back.
It's so good to have
been
you.
Been a while.
I'm really upset that I was supposed to be on the 420 episode, because I thought we were going to get high as fuck in this studio. I thought we were going to hotbox the room.
I know.
And then the bus I was on broke down in Los Baños. Love to break down on the 152.
In, as we call it, the bathrooms.
The bathrooms. The baths.
Yes.
We broke down on the side of the highway, and then the bus driver was like, you know what? I'm going to try and keep this going. And then he took us to a Walmart, and then everyone was like, we're fine. We're good. We're good. I met some very nice bros on their way to Coachella.
Oh, shit.
Some of the dumbest people I've ever met in my life. It was truly an experience.
Did, like, one of them just, like, suddenly catch fire inexplicably?
Well,
oh, shit, dude, I'm on fire.
He was that guy that was, like, he was really excited about knowing, like, the full chemical names of LSD and DMT. And he was like, have you ever done, like, Surgicus or whatever?
Surgicus,
I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Get out of here. He had pants with, like, 10 zippers on them. No zippers went anywhere.
Yeah. They didn't even function.
They didn't even function.
Yeah. He's like, I actually open them all up when it gets hot. It's a
Yeah. You ever when fuck with Ram Dass?
Fuck, I'm on fire again.
Yeah.
For some reason. Sarah, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Woo, something from my search history, because I put some notes in here. Okay, here we go. Okay, so my recent search history is pretty depressing. It's Cops Destroyed Community Garden, because on our on my podcast, Left Coast, we mentioned, you know, cops will sometimes destroy community gardens. And I was like, let me make sure this is true. And right. Oh boy, is it true. There are so many instances of SWAT teams and cops just coming in and destroying community gardens where either like the land got bought out and the lease was up, or if it's a survival garden, they'll just destroy it for like code reasons.
Wow.
Yeah, so like in—
Wait, a SWAT team to destroy a garden?
Yes.
Not
yes.
Incidentally, they are coming with the express purpose of destroying this garden.
Yes.
Because it's not properly
coded. Hey, get your tactical backhoe and your tactical shovel.
What the fuck,
let's get some
man.
Fucking Roundup.
Yeah, we're about to pull these
The guy
weeds.
With like two spray bottles of Roundup and he's flipping them on his hands.
Before the Blue Lives Matter people start asking us to like give cops a chance or like, you know, you
just
respect
Google
them.
Cops destroy community garden.
Like, stop being overt villains.
So there's
let people know about the benefits of community gardens, because I think if you live in urban areas, community gardens are probably more familiar to people.
Well, one of the biggest ones here was there was a huge community garden in South Central LA called South Central Farms, and the owners let the lease on the land run out, and then it was bought by this just terrible development company, and the community tried to buy it. Like, lots of different people offered to donate. Even the Annenberg Foundation was like, we will buy this land from you, this guy named Horowitz. And Horowitz was like, no, you made the offer 2 days later than my deadline, so I won't let you buy the land.
Wow.
And then they fucking bulldozed South Central Farms, which was a huge plot of land and fed a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they had like a lot of community events there. And then it just was empty for 12 years.
Man.
It's still empty.
Still empty.
It's still empty. A couple years ago, the new owners like put a plan up to the city where they were like, we want to put garment manufacturing there. And like, I don't know if that went through. That's the last I heard about
it. I'm sure they will.
But like straight up, they were like, no, sorry. Like, we bought this land. It's gone. It's
dead.
Sorry,
calling the SWAT team.
Sorry, it's really important that we destroy this garden in order to put, I don't know, probably condos here. And then they just didn't even fucking put condos there.
So a community garden is owned by the community. It's a plot of land. And then they garden it. And
yeah, it's basically like if you live in an apartment and you don't have a yard, community gardens are a place where you can get a garden bed,
a plot
of land,
and
you can grow food, you can grow flowers. Like, it's great. It's a fucking huge educational resource for kids. A lot of the time, like elderly, whatever, nursing homes and stuff will have them because elderly people like
give
fucking love
to
garden. And they're tight. They're great for native plants.
Is
they're
that
great
how
for
you
like
know
growing.
When you're old when you want to start gardening?
Yeah, and I'm old now.
Oh, yeah, already?
Yeah.
Because I'm slowly getting there. My mom, like, she got into gardening, like in one day it, like, happened.
Yeah.
Like, it made me think, like, there was that age where she's like, whoa.
Yeah. Was it the day after you moved out?
No. Oh, it was, like, wait, oh, shit.
Yeah. Think about it.
She's like, these succulents are my children now, along with the possums
That's
and rats.
Me. I built a garden bed, and now I'm like, I don't need a man. Like, I built a garden bed and logged off Tinder.
Yeah. Like, I just need to get my vine ripened tomatoes.
Yeah, dude, you want to see some pictures of my tomatoes?
Oh, yeah, later on.
Later on.
Yeah.
In private.
I'm trying to keep my job.
Yeah,
I'm trying to keep my job.
What is something that is overrated?
Okay, I got a couple of Netflix recommendations for you guys. One is, here's what's fucking overrated on Netflix, Blue Planet. And I know what you're thinking. Sara, you love the oceans. How can you hate the series Blue Planet? Everyone knows this about me, that I love the oceans.
Yep.
Everyone is thinking this. I watched an episode of Blue Planet, and all it did was introduce me to various species of baby animals and then show a giant predator eating those baby animals.
Oh, really?
And that was the end.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then it's just like, nature's tough.
Yeah.
It's hard out here,
man.
On that show, Life, and on every other nature show, you know, you'll see something bad happen. You'll see an antelope get eaten or whatever. And then they're like, but life moves
then they
on.
Show you
the
something,
cycle. You end with the shot of some grass growing, you know, to be like, this is life. And or you show a happy family, some ducks flying for the first time.
Right,
you know, you end on a high note.
This
but this episode
like,
of Blue Planet was just like, here's a baby walrus, here it is getting eaten, here's a baby seal, here it is getting eaten, here's some fish, here it is getting eaten, like cute baby seals.
And like
baby
the last
seal
shot
trials.
Is just like a shark like shitting out
oh,
a dead
straight up,
seal.
It was, it was an orca whale and like a blood splotch in the water. And it's like, well,
and then the
that's
credits
the
just
blue
roll
planet.
Like executive producer.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
I remember the first.
And that was high as shit. You get high as shit to watch nature shows.
Of
you
course.
Don't get.
Yeah, you don't want
to
get, because especially, I'm sure you start off, you're like, oh, look at the little baby. Yeah. And you're like, yay. And you're like, what the fuck? Why is that whale getting all close?
Like,
like, no.
Even when they do like show the circle of life, it's not that satisfying because like, I think it was the first Blue Planet. They have like these, this family of whales and there's a baby whale and it gets like picked off by these sharks or something and eventually eaten. And then it, they're like, but like the way that nature works, it sinks to the bottom and becomes food for this giant ecosystem.
You see a million types of crabs eating it.
Yeah, but it's all like
picking
disgusting
it apart.
Animals.
Yeah.
It's all like sea worms.
It's
and
the
sea
maggots
slugs,
of the sea world.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, by the way, there are 6 foot long maggots at the bottom of the ocean that just devour this baby.
Don't worry, this dead baby is going to keep these worms alive.
Right? Yeah. It's like, yes, perfect. Thank God.
Great.
All right.
Well, like, as the young sea worm breaches the seal's skull from the inside. And you're like,
we realize that the sea, the baby whale was still alive.
Yeah. You're like, oh,
it's like, oh God,
what the fuck is this?
What is something that's underrated?
Underrated. All right. So you're not watching Blue Planet anymore. We're saying no to Blue Planet.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you need to watch on Netflix. And I'm about to blow up this spot for you guys. I'm about to blow it open wide. Age Gap Love.
Yeah.
The best show on Netflix. Are you into this?
Yes.
It is the fucking best.
I am a professional get high and watch Netflix person, and I already know the nature things. The nature things already have, I know that's a risk.
Yeah, it's a risk. There's a risk
when
there.
I'm like old divorcees with young people, I'm in.
Age Gap Love is a show about couples with huge age gaps.
Yes.
We're not talking like a 10-year. We're talking sometimes 60.
Yeah.
Like
60.
Yeah. On average, it's a 30 to 45-year age gap.
Yeah.
There's these couples.
Some of the couples are amazing.
The couples are the fucking best because there's kind of two, and they're British, so they're all fucking crazy looking.
Yeah.
There's two major types. One is like an older woman with a younger man, and the younger man has some kind of health problem.
Yeah,
that like forces
exactly.
him to be with an older woman who like can kind of be there all the time
and take care of them. Conversely, they're like, I always thought they would take care of me, but I'm taking care of him.
Yes,
right.
It's often
I'm diabetic
with a
now
problem.
From drinking too much, and it's like, oh shit.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm glad I have this boy toy or whatever. And then the other main type is an old man who got with his son's girlfriend.
Really?
And then they got married.
Yeah.
Like, that's the general archetype.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they met when she was 16 in a pub, because that's what you do in Britain. And he was like
you
an old-ass bartender. No, you go drinking with your friends, and then you fall in love with the bartender, who's your friend's dad.
Wow.
And you fuck him, and then you get married, and then you have babies with him, because he still wants to have babies. And then their families don't talk to them anymore.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, those are the ones where it's like, clearly a borderline abusive relationship.
A couple of my favorite couples, there's the one with the old woman, who was like when her husband on his deathbed was like, get a titty job and go out and date, was basically his dying wish.
Joanne is the breakout star of the show. She's clearly angling for her own reality series, and she fucking deserves it. She's like a 72-year-old lady, and she has the craziest
boob
job.
It's crazy.
And she says, I was married to the greatest man for 40, 50 years on his deathbed. He was like, go get those tits and fuck a young guy. Yeah. Which, like, whether or not you believe that is 100% up to you.
Get some.
Do we have video evidence of this request?
That last moment, no.
Request?
Just her playing it out.
I take Joanne at her word.
Also, you know.
He said it through a muffled pillow.
Yeah,
as
right.
His face.
She's like, just die so I can get this fucking insurance money. Yeah, I mean, again, also, you know, she needs a bit of a glow up. You know, I'm not trying to drag Ma, but you know, you on TV, Ma. We gotta check the mascara a little bit, you know what I mean? Maybe do something with the hair.
We gotta get a little hair. We gotta get her a wig. She needs
a wig.
Really good wig. And she's like,
because then she would be a fly.
She's so excited about her huge. Her tits are so crazy, and then in like the first episode, she goes to see a doctor to see if she can get them bigger,
and
the doctor's like, "No, man,
at your age, you will die."
Yeah, then, she's like,
"Isn't that bad for your back just regularly?"
Yes. Yeah, you can see
like, most people get like some people have to get reductions
if
they have naturally big breasts.
Yeah, she's given herself back pain with this, and then there's like she'll always be like, "I can see people looking when I walk down the street," and I'm like,
It's not in the
way you want.
It's a spectacle,
yeah.
To
say
the least.
So the old man.
And she calls her young lovers toy boys.
Yeah.
So the old guy who marries his son's daughter.
Son's best friend. Not his own
his
grandchild.
Son's friend or his son's classmate. Or his son's girlfriend
or whatever. Yeah. I understand his family cutting him off. But does her family cut her off too? Because they're just like, I don't want to picture his balls or like.
Generally, her family is like really, like clearly not really okay with it, but doesn't want to cut their daughter out of their life. Okay. They're just worried about her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, okay. So yeah, there will be a lot of the parents being like, when I first heard about it, I was pretty upset.
Yeah,
but and now it's fine.
Wasn't there one woman
and
who
now
like,
I'm still upset?
Yeah,
there was like one woman. Wasn't she like dating her son's celly from prison?
Oh, like, my God, I haven't seen that
like
one yet.
Like, her son was in prison, and then another dude came out. She was writing him letters, and now they're together. Yo, that one's messy also. Then
they're
there's
all
another
messy.
The one that I know you've seen is the old Austrian millionaire who, like, owns the
yes.
mall. And he got the young...
Yes!
Or no, he's... Is he?
Yeah, yeah, he's a mall owner. He's an Austrian
he's
millionaire.
Austrian. She's
owns,
German,
like,
I think, right?
Yeah, she's German
she's got a daughter.
Or, like, Belgian or something. Or Swedish. I think she's Swedish.
Anyway, she's the ex-Playboy bunny or something.
Yeah, yeah,
and she
yeah.
treats him like shit.
Yeah.
She's
that's
just
the
like,
one that's like the classic old man, young
yeah.
woman. He's rich. She's not. But like
doesn't
in
give a
general,
fuck about
him. On Age Gap Love, they're all poor.
Yeah.
You know, like overall. But that one stood out because it was like, oh, she's clearly just marrying this old guy for his money, whatever. And she treats him like shit. It's like
it's,
she almost calls him fuckstick. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
She's a bit like, I want champagne. He's like, oh, okay. Like, can you get up and do this? He's so fucking old. Like, I get that maybe, like, that's your man. Or, you know, you want to be like, boo, can you get that?
Yeah.
This man is so old. Don't make him get up or back and over just to be like, I want more champagne.
But he's also shitty to her. He's
yeah.
like, he's always coughing in her face.
Just, it's just like these two people are like.
Oh, she's fine, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, check out Age Gap.
It's
love.
A damn. Fucking trip.
If
it
you
is
love,
an intense
if you like
show.
To just
oh,
get messy
my
with
favorite,
shows.
My favorite couple, I think. There's one in San Jose. The young men also always have like a curly wax mustache. You know what I mean? And
oh.
they generally fall in love because they have some weird shared interest, like LARPing or like organ music or some
right.
shit.
Right, right.
And they're like, yeah, we met through the organ community.
Right.
Like,
or
that's a normal.
Dialysis.
Or they're like, yeah, we're like steampunk pirates.
Yes. Right, right.
Or
we
met on a Slayer message board.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, no, no, a Deep Purple message board.
Yeah.
That one was scary.
Yeah.
That one was like, that's an unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, he's
super controlling.
Super controlling.
And he like flew her in from Scotland.
Yeah, he got
to
her.
Marry him and have his baby. Like,
yeah.
So it's dark.
Her relationship to steampunk is so authentic.
Yeah.
Because when she grew up, she had to pedal her own washing
yeah,
machine.
Exactly.
All right.
She's like, what do you mean you don't know how to mend the bellows?
Yeah, so watch Age Gap Love and, you know, just be careful.
Laugh, cry.
Laugh, cry.
But at least they're humans who are living their best life, unlike, tragically, seals losing their lives very early on.
Some of those couples are truly inspiring, and you can tell they really love each other.
Yeah.
And it's just really
nice. And you know what? It does force you into a bit of introspection about, like, relationships. Because when you see sort of, like, these exaggerated couples, the problems are very pronounced or not pronounced, but then you can kind of be like, oh, shit. That's like a small thing that you overlook in a relationship.
And they're all
that
heterosexual couples. And it's interesting to see like a portrayal of heterosexual couples where like you're kind of being invited to gawk at them, but also not. Like the show is – they never say like – they never make fun of them. Overtly.
No.
You know, they never say
they use,
like
cheeky descriptions, you know.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And they use the
makeup.
Phrase age gap a lot
right.
because that's the only way you can say it without it sounding really bad.
Like, he's a chicken hawk.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right. Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Something people think is true is that my podcast Left Coast is hosted by two people, when in fact it is now hosted by me. It's a solo mission, baby. Left
solo.
Coast is I'm flying solo.
Okay.
And we have our first solo episode out today with Jeff Weiss, former writer for the LA Weekly, on to tell you what happened to the
LA
Weekly.
Ooh,
which,
and all a lot of weeklies, I'm
a
sure
lot
the same
of weeklies,
story. Yeah.
Yeah, so the LA Weekly got bought out in November by these like secret neocon, like coven of
Media.
Witches. Yeah, Sinclair Media at Claremont Institute people. And they're still running it, but it's a zombie paper because they fired all the writers. And then they were like, does anyone have any writers? And nope. Everyone was like, no, fuck you.
Right.
Yeah. It's a really incredible story.
Yeah, and it's also part of like, you know, this movement that we've seen across the country of like like your local weekly getting fucking bought out or bankrupted or whatever, and you're losing that real independent journalism.
Yeah, and what's crazy is like, you know, we keep hearing about the death of print journalism, you know, and I just keep thinking, oh, that means papers shutting down. But what it means instead, it turns out, is huge national media groups like Sinclair buying out like 10 papers, running super conservative articles in the op-ed section, and then just using the former prestige of the paper to bleed advertisers as subscription numbers drop.
Right.
And they're like, okay, yeah, like, you and I look at the death of print media and we're like, this sucks. But what they look at it as is like, cool, print media is dying. Let me chip the
Let me chip
the gold out of the teeth of this corpse.
Distressed asset.
That's it's a distressed asset. They're buying it to tank it, which
venture
is even more depressing.
Come in, buy it, let it die, and then like build it back up. And
and just sell the end.
Yeah. And we lost a lot of local websites too, like LAist and Gothamist
LAist, Gothamist, SFist, like that whole thing. And then, you know, this just comes on the heels of the death of Gawker and LAist and
and it's all wealthy people having their way, you know, with Gawker. It was that they outed Gawker
Peter
was
Thiel.
but they could be bitches sometimes.
The really funny thing about the LA Weekly story is that the people that bought it and did this are not even good at it. Like, they didn't buy
fire
all the writers and then install a new staff full of pro-Trump writers. They just fired all the writers and then were like, uh-oh, we don't have any content.
Right.
And they're not reporting the news even in a slanted way.
Right.
They're just not doing it. Like, it's like they didn't have a plan. They're so bad at this.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
it's weird.
That's a must listen for sure.
It is very, yeah. So that's out now. And I put up another myth is that we don't update enough. But in fact, I put out 4 episodes yesterday.
There you go.
There you go. I feel bad about not posting a lot in the past couple
of
months.
Well, look, we're out here living our lives.
I'm living my life.
And we're trying to give you all this art for free.
Well, not for free. Please subscribe to my Patreon. We're about to have some bonus content.
Oh, shit.
Boner content.
Well, we'll shout all that out at the end
of
the show when we get Sarah her dough.
I'm sorry.
All right, let's get into
the good stuff.
Yeah.
We're trying to take a sample of the global shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now.
Let me tap in real quick to the shared.
Got it. Jack in, bro. Yeah. Jack in.
Like Johnny Mnemonic or some shit.
I'm dial-upping. I'm DSL over here.
Just a word of warning. This is going to kind of be our... For anybody who doesn't, you know, think Donald Trump is the greatest American president, this is going to be sort of the Empire Strikes Back / Infinity War episode because
Infinity Empire America.
Yeah, it's a lot of somewhat bad news or sort of
pessimistic
outtakes that we
just
try
a reality
and be,
check. Let's call it a reality check.
We try and be somewhat optimistic.
Jack's having a breakdown, is
but,
what we're saying.
Yeah.
Jack's reached his end.
He's sporting a mohawk.
Yeah. I'm smiling.
Jack's
my
got
face
a lip
is
ring.
Smiling, but I have tears just streaming down my face right now.
He's got those Transmetropolitan glasses where one is like green and one lens is red. And he's got a cigarette and he's like, ah, the end of the world. I'm drunk.
So let's... Buckle up for Kane season 2018. Miles.
Kane season.
What's
Hurricane
happening?
Season 2K18 is on its way.
So
June 1st. No, June 1st, I think, is when Atlantic hurricane season officially begins. But, you know, so
I cannot wait for those canes
buy your
to drop.
Tickets now.
As we've all known that climate change is bad. And I think we've realized that it's contributed to a lot
of
natural disasters.
If it was real, it might be bad.
Yeah, if it was. Sadly, there's a new report that is saying that clearly the climate change and its effect on the water temperature is like one of the single largest factors in exacerbating the frequency and intensity of hurricanes. So now we're saying, okay, after doing an analysis of last hurricane season, here are the numbers. Yes, it made shit worse.
Look, here's what you're not getting. Climate change leads to hurricanes, which leads to buildings being destroyed, which leads to a beautiful open market where developers can make more shitty buildings that will then get knocked. It's called a boom and bust. It's called capitalism. Miles, get on board. This is the life cycle of property.
I'm trying to keep up, guys. It's this capitalism thing. I'm still getting a hold of it. Okay, so just bear with me. I've only been doing it for 3 weeks.
Like with the media, though, this is another example of something that is really good for venture capitalists and people with loads of money to invest in different things.
And then profit off of
and
later.
And profit off of. But it's really bad for poor people and just people who aren't that wealthy.
Well, especially when you look at like hurricanes in the Southeast. They disproportionately affect people of color much more intensely than anyone else.
But people of color have the same opportunity to buy homes as everyone else, right?
Motherfucker, we can't even go into an Airbnb without thinking we're robbing it. I doubt it. But anyway, so to add to this good news, there's also been a few forecasts coming out of a few different universities that say that there might be even above average activity, as they're saying, for this hurricane right. season.
With this like hurricane 18, took an Adderall.
18 named storms, with five being like possibly
Holy
major.
Shit.
Like, five being like major.
Harvey yeah. level.
So should everybody just get the fuck out of the Southeast well, now?
Well, the sad thing is, right, you look at every, like, recovery is still happening in Houston yeah. and clearly in Puerto Rico, where
Orleans,
nothing has
yeah.
been.
Even New Orleans.
Yeah, for sure. And so it's frightening to know that there could be something even close to what happened last year in terms of hurricane season. So we'll see the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They haven't put out their own predictions for the season yet. But based on the other ones, it seems like could be active.
There We're seeing record temperatures, right? And last year.
Like
and,
high temperatures?
Yeah, and the yeah. the water temperatures.
Oh. Water temperature is an all-time high. And nice. It was last year. And last year we saw like three insanely powerful storms.
After the Sandy happened, and there was a community garden on Coney Island that survived the hurricane, and then a year later got
police shut it down.
Oh, yeah,
I still need to see the idea of a SWAT team wrecking a garden is
it's
like
really
peak capitalism. Mm-hmm. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like not even like yeah, we hired this like lands excavation team to do it.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, like guys with guns came and yeah. were like, this plant is more than 12 inches high.
Shoot it!
Just rolling up in riot gear.
Yeah.
Just like pushing the plants over with their.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with more bad news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. So there was a lot of talk about 3 months ago about a coming blue wave in the elections, in the midterm elections. One of the things people were pointing to was how Democrats have been overperforming in special elections and
still are.
And still are.
What is overperforming?
Like the turnout is higher than normal years. Like,
oh, like they're doing
for
okay?
Like like special elections, historically, like turnout is so low because you have to be particularly engaged to show up for a special election. And the turnout has been, you know, significantly higher than normal.
Right. Yeah, like Alabama is an example of this where, you know, Trump won by 20 points and then a Democrat won. So they have this thing called a generic ballot where they poll Americans and say, just generally, would you vote for a Democrat or a Republican? And as recently as a couple months ago or a few months ago, Democrats were leading by 16 points. And now when those same polls were released this week, it's down to 3 points and sort of inside the margin of error. So reasonable question to be asked is, are Democrats fucking this up again? How specifically are they fucking this up again? There was a article in the New York Times that was a interview with a GOP strategist where he was talking. It was just interesting to see inside how they're viewing this. And all the GOP are mentioning Nancy Pelosi as like the, you know, person that they're making their villain. Like, surely that can't still be a good use of resources. Like, who cares? She's been here for so long. Aren't Republicans tired of her at this point? And he was like, I'll just read the guy's name. His last name is Bliss. He said, Frank, you're very rarely wrong, but this time you are. Nancy Pelosi is the most unpopular, divisive politician in America, period. I'm very blessed to have her in my life and hope she never, ever retires. So there's just like these things that I don't totally take into account, like the just sheer, you know, vein of pulsating hatred for Nancy Pelosi that exists out in America.
Mean, even Democrats hate Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
she sucks.
Because she's inconsistent. Like, there are times when there's a progressive wing of the party that really wants to go left, and there's always this moderation because she's the establishment.
We're capitalists, and that's just the way it is. Yeah. I mean, she, you know, if
she's done good, but like, you know, yeah. it's like
if you are a Democrat, like if you really identify as a Democrat and not, you know, like any further left than that, that's very center. It's extremely centrist to be a Democrat, and Nancy Pelosi is a Democrat and a centrist.
Right.
So if you vote Democrat just because it's the only major party that you can vote for, but your interests are really further left than that, Nancy Pelosi is a very disappointing politician because she never goes progressive. She always goes center. So, like, but again, like, I mean, but she's also left enough that all Republicans super hate her.
Right. But
also, to call her the most divisive politician in the country when we have Trump for president is a little bit of an exaggeration.
But that's a right-wing operative. Yeah. Having to do spin to be like, well, don't worry, we have a plan too. When it's, look, let's be real, they're also fighting an uphill battle too.
Yeah.
But
it's
they
just
are,
that we're making it difficult.
They are pointing to her for a reason. I just think there's something, like the last time.
Well, it's probably just because she's an older lady.
Right. Well, the thing this reminded me of is Marsha Clark from the OJ trial, and they kind of have the same hairdo. So I'm like wondering if there's
Pelosi
like.
Pelosi does not have a wacky perm like Marsha Clark.
I'm wondering
Clark
if
did.
There's something about like that just general look that makes. Conservative.
Well, I think also
hate.
Too, she reminds them of the Obama administration when she's speaker. So you have that also to, you know, get people fired up.
She's also been in power for a really long time. You know, she's just
so
been there for a really long time. So there's
a lot
of history to go through and things to blame on her because of her long career.
Yeah. There's also a really interesting article in Bloomberg today that is by a Pulitzer Prize winning nonfiction writer talking about sort of this alternate history of Watergate that I hadn't really been familiar with, where
Nixon was innocent.
Right. Basically, Nixon.
Nixon innocent.
Nixon was the victim of a handful of liberal journalists from Washington and New York who were out to, quote, get the president.
I mean, I thought that was the whole point.
Right.
Right, right. I mean, yeah. You described.
Is this a secret?
Oh, but you're saying in terms of like spinning that into like a culture war kind of thing of like the liberal media agenda to take down Nixon sort of thing.
Yeah, essentially, like the thing that I had always heard was it's crazy that Nixon won by this landslide election like right before Watergate. But it's actually when you think about that, people don't just change their mind. Like, all those people who voted for him weren't just like, well, we were wrong. Because that's just not how
said
human
said no human
minds,
ever.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
It said they were just like, well, this is fine.
Right. They were just angry and, you know, they just buried that and were angry at the media. And, you know, this person draws continuity between sort of that, the buried sort of resentment for taking Nixon down, right through Reagan, who actually never admitted that Nixon was had done anything wrong and said that it was all a conspiracy to take down Nixon by the media. And then I really think you can almost connect it, like when put in this context, you can draw a line straight through Trump and his ability to tap into Nixon came to power via this, I think it was called like the invisible majority, where, you know, he talked about tapping into this.
That's all the ghosts that vote.
Right, exactly. But yes. It's, you know, it's basically the
same
people
who, you know, they vote
because
they're old.
Yeah, right. Who voted Trump in, and it's not necessarily the blue collar people we think it is. It's just, you know, I think it can be a term for, you know, resentful white people or like racist white people who are willing to vote on
invisible majority
fear.
Sounds a lot better than racist white
people. Right, yeah. Right. I just think it's, this is kind of going back to that Empire Strikes Back thing where like I've just been reading all these articles that are making me think like actually, you know, in my mind going into 2020, I was like, yeah, it would be like a huge upset if Trump were to actually win again because he's like proven himself to be so insanely incompetent. But if you view him on a continuum with like Nixon and Reagan, those guys both won re-election in like historic landslides. And I don't know. He seems.
You think that's going to happen again?
I'm just saying it might be a question worth asking rather than just assuming that he's going to be swept out of office because he's a
fucking
lunatic.
Yeah. If you're asking me, do I think Trump will be reelected? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. It's possible completely. It's not definitely not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, if you think anything's impossible, you've not been paying attention to the last two to 5 years.
Well, right. I think the other thing to consider, you know, that kind of adds to the sort of dampening of enthusiasm is when you look at like the Cook Political Report, who does a lot of the projections and things on House pickups, Senate pickups going into the midterms. Right now, Democrat pickups are around 25 to 40 seats in the House, which is enough to take control of the House. But on the Senate side, it is not as sort of they're not as confident that there's going to be major pickups. They're saying maybe the Democrats can pick up 2 seats, but they also believe that the Republicans will pick up around 1, maybe more. So it would be an interesting thing to see the House go blue, but then the Senate go further red, which would be a rare instance. But yeah, that's another thing to kind of pay attention to. And I think a lot of the reason why it's easy to get swept up and feel like really good about, oh man, Trump would be out all these scandals is because there's all this focus on the scandal. And everyone just sort of contributes to this, I think, sort of sentiment of like, oh, well, of course this can't stand then
well,
much longer.
Do you remember the fucking election? Do you remember how grabbing by the pussy happened and his numbers went up?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what level of scandal is like, if you think that everything bad that has happened during the Trump presidency is going to make it harder for him to get reelected, please remember how fucking awful 2016 was and how things just kept coming out and coming out. And he said more and more terrible things. And it did not make a difference because the people that voted for Trump don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You
and
know
also,
what I mean? They either don't care or they thought that he was going to bring them something good enough, jobs, essentially, that would make it. They were like, you know what? I don't care if he says misogynist things. I just want my coal mining job back.
Right.
But like more often, it's just rich people that are like, I don't give a fuck what he says. He's going to make sure I got my money.
Right. And the other thing, too, is he did a good job of selling people on a product. I mean, he had people thinking that they were going to have better health care than they do now.
Yeah.
And it was going to be cheaper.
He told people he was going to take care of them and they believed him. And the fact that he said all that terrible shit, either they were like, that's great, I also secretly hate Mexicans, or they were like, I don't hate Mexicans, but I also need health care more than I need more immigrants here. You know, so like I just don't see how any, like, the world is backwards now.
Yeah.
Everything bad he does helps him.
Well, and I think that's why it's a little weird when, like, a lot of the messaging is centered around what Trump is doing. Like, we already know, if you're trying to convince me about how bad Donald Trump is, everyone is convinced
already.
And you're not going to sway that. What Democrats really need to do is sell a fucking product again.
Right. You like can't Trump just be did. Like, hey, we're better than Trump. Because, yeah, no shit, everyone is. Yeah. But, like, this is, again, like, how could Hillary lose an election against somebody who was, like, by all normal metrics, she should have fucking wiped the floor with him, right? Just on the basis of her being a more experienced politician who was not openly racist.
Right.
You know, but she didn't because that was all she had. She was just like, hey, I'm not Trump. And then
yeah, it's like, no, sell me some. Because like right now, it's
Doug
what's crazy.
Jones barely won.
Right.
Barely won on the basis of I'm not a obvious pedophile.
Right.
Like if we are going to pick up 25 to 40 seats in the House, if Democrats are going to do that, like, again, you have to have something other than I'm not a racist, I'm not a pedophile, because clearly nobody gives a fuck.
Well, that doesn't connect to how am I going to feed my kids?
Exactly.
How am I going to pay for my medication?
Yeah.
How am I going to do this? I don't give a fuck if Trump is having an affair.
Yeah.
How the fuck are you going to strengthen the labor union? How are you going to fucking subsidize my childcare?
Can you give me a full-time job with benefits? Because nobody fucking has that anymore. Can you make college affordable for my kids? Can you make healthcare something that I have fucking access to? Like, give me food stamps. Give me something.
Right. There's still time, but there's a lot of work to be done. So, I mean, yeah, because, you know, it's fun to parade around with, like, Michael Avenatti's getting everybody excited with leaks and shit.
Right. Yeah, you can't just get away with, hey, we believe in global warming anymore. Like, great, what are you going to fucking do?
So we'll see. We'll see, huh?
Yeah.
Or maybe we won't. Maybe
maybe we'll all be dead.
Yeah, maybe we'll just, you know,
how's your kid, Jack?
Great.
Is he voting in the midterms? I hope so. Is he registered? Mm-hmm.
So I also wanted to talk about a bias that has been sort of making itself more evident to me in the past couple of weeks, and that is the conservative bias by the mainstream media. You usually hear the mainstream media referred to as having a liberal bias, but there's...
That's what Alex Jones told me.
I think that's generally agreed to by the mainstream media that, oh yeah, like... They have a liberal bias and then Fox has a conservative bias and that's just like those are the two sides. Hmm. And I think that's
what Fox News wants you to believe, too, is that they're this antidote.
Yeah, they've successfully defined the argument.
Or that
along
we use these
lines.
Labels that because you're reporting on shit, that's liberal.
Right.
And if you're spinning shit as propaganda, that's conservative.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I was noticing it a lot with NPR this morning.
NPR is supposed to be liberal.
Right. NPR is like supposed to be the most liberal outlet.
Yeah, like if you're going to central casting the idea of a liberal hipster, it's someone who has like an NPR shirt
on. Right.
Yeah.
You know? But I think people who work at these outlets are sort of conditioned to think that they are doing a good job and being fair and balanced anytime they make a concession to conservatives.
Right.
And so there was an interview that NPR conducted in the past couple of days with John Kelly where he says just all sorts of wild shit about illegal immigrants.
No.
That NPR like edited down to make it seem...
Yeah, it's very...
So let's hear how they presented this interview.
So this is what aired.
So this is what aired. And then so this is them, like, amongst talking things about the Iran deal, North Korea, things like that, they get to immigration. And this was specifically something about the zero tolerance policy that the administration announced where they're like, we don't give a fuck. We're breaking up families because we're empathetic. Yeah. Anyway, so this is the journalist setting up this answer from John Kelly.
Well, you can really hear that in his comments. They differ from his boss's polarizing rhetoric, and yet they still agree on tough border controls.
Let me step back and tell you that the vast majority of the people that move illegally into the United States are not bad people. They're not criminals. They're not MS-13. But they're also not people that would easily assimilate into the United States. They're overwhelmingly rural people. In the countries they come from, fourth, fifth, sixth grade educations are kind of the norm. They're coming here for a reason, and I sympathize with the reason. But the laws are the laws.
So
yeah, dumb and poor and rural, that doesn't sound like America at all.
Yeah, no, exactly. That doesn't sound like the exact same attacks that I'm sure the Irish and Italians faced prior to them.
It's crazy
also,
that
y'all see that children of the opioid crisis thing? Like, you're telling me those people aren't poor and rural and have fifth, sixth, seventh grade educations?
Right.
Like, they're fucking Americans.
And they live in this country,
But it's crazy that they framed that as this guy is more measured and reasonable.
Yeah.
Right. And that was his response. But what's crazy is they left out the real problematic shit in that answer. So— He goes
There's
on
more?
To say, he just goes fourth, sixth grade educations are kind of the norm. Then he goes on, they don't speak English. Obviously, that's a big thing. And then it's ellipsis. I don't know what was there. They don't integrate well. They don't have skills. They're not bad people.
They don't have skills.
Yeah, they don't integrate well. They don't have skills. They left that whole other part out to like
before curb. Going back to they.
I
don't,
would love
not bad
to
people.
See John Kelly's nanny.
Yeah,
right.
It's I think it's just like a broomstick wearing an Uncle Sam costume or something.
So going on, I was another thing I was listening to on NPR was their politics show weekly roundup where they were talking about North Korea. And they described it as, you know, the release of the hostages is undoubtedly a win because that's what the perception is. And they even refer to polling that shows that people think people are now more willing to trust Trump on North Korea. And they basically report, they follow the trends of what the sort of central belief is of the country, rather than pointing out that it's a wild misconception that people are thinking that Trump is doing good on North Korea. So just going through a couple of the things they talked about, they say his tough talk may be working is the thought that people have, like by threatening North Korea, his tough talk.
I mean, is it working?
So
we don't know yet. I mean, realistically, we don't know yet, right?
I'd say the chances are that North Korea and Kim Jong-un think they can fleece him because he's chaotic and the opposite of careful. Like, for instance, during the hostage release, he said Kim Jong-un treated the hostages well, which is just like a crazy thing that he said off the cuff.
Which is insane. No person who has had their freedom taken away from them for any amount of time is not going to come out right. unscathed.
And this yeah. NPR show said specifically that, you know, him calling him Rocket Man worked.
Worked in what was it supposed to fucking accomplish?
First of all, it was not by design. It was clearly out of a, like,
yeah, it's just bullshit.
Need to out-dick measure Kim Jong-un. But getting North Korea to come to the table and meet with the U.S. president is not an accomplishment. Past presidents didn't do it because they wouldn't do it. It's a big concession to North Korea. We just gave them a huge bargaining chip, and like he agreed to it without consulting with any advisors. He did it just off the fucking cuff, and this is a huge way.
And it's
like,
being painted as this big victory
for him. The mainstream media is covering it as like this guy is a miracle worker.
Damn, he finally got North Korea to sit down and fuck us.
Right. Yeah, Clinton like was the last person who was even considering a meeting with North Korea. He sent Madeleine Albright, and she was like, "No fucking way! These people are crazy.
This is
they're
not
like,
work. This
we're
is
not,
not
even,
work.
We're nowhere close to like being able to meet together." And I don't know. It just seems like he's doing everything for the purposes of short-term self-aggrandizement. Like people, it's very clear that he's doing that, but because there's this misconception that he's winning on North Korea because people see this meeting as a good thing and a political win. NPR is just, following along and being like, yeah, I mean, he's clearly winning and being bold and daring with this gambit.
Again, because I think a lot of these people, they don't want to get into a situation where suddenly Breitbart and people, they drum up the people on the right to be like, look at this crazy liberal bias, this anti, and they don't want to have to defend themselves. You know, I think it's easier to just like do this half-assed reporting and just sort of spin it in like a soft way, still have facts and let the reader kind of figure it out.
Well, you're just they're just echoing the line that Huckabee Sanders is giving, which is like, wow, it's this great major victory for us to sit down with North Korea. When in reality, number one, like, what is that going to accomplish? North Korea is just going to be like, hey, fuck you. And then it's going
to
be over.
Yeah, we have no idea. And we have no idea that pulling out of the Iran deal is going to affect that. To mention that he left two American people that are in prison over there.
Yeah, just because things are happening doesn't mean any of them are good or that it's progress.
But it's
that's what the Trump administration wants you to believe is that, hey, we're sitting down and we're talking and things are happening. But journalists are supposed to be the ones saying, actually, this might not be a good thing. But instead, they're just given the line.
That's like when I would try and write a term paper in college and I would consider opening up Word and creating a new document as work that day. And
yeah.
just be like,
yeah.
Because I'm not about to write these 20 pages.
Yeah.
Well, but I just did this.
Let me open the application.
And then be like, well, I started it. In my head, I'll be like, I'm starting it. What did I do? I'm looking at a blinking cursor on a blank document.
I think also it's exhausting to just point out how wrong they are in everything they say over and over. And it gives
your whole podcast, Jack.
It gives the appearance, exactly, that you know why I've lost most of my hair now. But it gives the appearance of being balanced if sometimes you're saying, well, good for them on that one, though.
No, yeah. And that's not what balanced
is. You can't do that just by definition, like just because you feel like you need a positive statement in there.
Yeah, you're not an NBA ref who's just given a foul on the other side of the court because you missed one.
Right. I mean, isn't this what that guy in the Philippines did where he was like, hey, if you don't write good stuff about my administration, you don't get to come to press conferences. That's supposed to be a thing that we don't do in America, but I think it's a thing that journalists know is going to happen or is already happening, where if you don't support some of their shit, they're just going to not give you the beat that you cover. That is your job.
Right.
That's why they just need some wealthy people to just fucking bankroll these things, and they can
come on.
Yeah,
dude.
I know. But I'm saying that's.
What, do you want an Elon Musk paper?
No.
Bezos Gazette?
That. Not like that, but a conglomeration. Like, I think because advertising is ultimately affecting everything.
Yeah.
And that's part of the equation.
That is what papers like lived
off. Yeah, because they're like, well, fuck. I got to. You know what
I mean?
But
who do you think is owning these advertising? Like, who's paying for the ads? It's just all these, like, you know, major companies and billionaires and stuff, like they're the ones paying for these papers. And if they don't like what's in the paper, they're not going to advertise. And then the paper's dead.
Right. What I'm saying is, even though despite that, I'm like, if you can eliminate the need for an advertisement in a paper, right?
Yeah.
And it can just be pure journalism. That's really the only way I think that you can remedy, or not that it's the only way to remedy that, but that's a contributing factor.
Well, that's
to
what
the
internet was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a place where you could run a publication for a much lower cost because you don't have to print anything, right? So you were supposed to be able to have less advertisers. But I mean, how did that turn out? Gawker got bought. Like, everything's run by the advertisers. Like, putting different money into an industry is not a way to like get less control.
Right. Well, but if you're beholden to the revenue from advertising, then what's the way around that is what I'm saying.
I don't think there is one. If you are beholden to advertising, you're beholden to advertising. Like, whoever's got the money is, like, the idea of a free press is a purely, like, theoretical vision, right? If there was a way to run a truly free press, then, yeah, you would have at least reporters' biases, but you wouldn't have.
Right.
I don't think, like, maybe it's a little pessimistic, but the way that the industry works and the way that the press is forced to operate under capitalism, which is what we do, which means you have to depend on advertisers.
Right.
There's no way. I mean, and what's the other option? Is a government-run newspaper?
Yeah. Well,
which is not much better.
Fox.
At the same time, like, I mean,
it is a little
pathetic.
It's
supposed to be the fourth estate. Like, the democratic government does not work, just period, if you don't have a thriving media that can independently report facts and, you know, I don't know, give 20% of the military budget to, you know, media outlets and see if that helps.
Yeah, because we don't value the free press in this country as much as, you know, the alt-right will scream about free speech and freedom of press and all this. We don't fucking care about that, and we don't care about schools, and we don't care about art because we don't fund these things.
Right.
Like, compared to other countries, we don't give money for independent press.
No. I mean, we don't do anything that would
inspire
anything remotely close to free thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, this was sort of the point the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
The alt-right wouldn't exist if we had a active and functioning fourth estate. Just one other place I've been seeing this sort of rightward tilt in mainstream media coverage is of the CIA director hearings.
More girl power in the CIA.
Yeah.
Jesus,
rock on.
You can't fucking write this shit.
Yeah. She
Yas Queen torture.
She has refused to disavow the torture.
Gina Haspel,
the director of the CIA, or presumptive soon to be, had her hearing earlier this week. It lasted 2 hours, and she was pressed on, you know, the fact that she was involved with the waterboarding of terrorism suspects. And, you know, okay, I think some people were like, back then, that's what people thought was okay. And she was sent into this black site after somebody had been waterboarded 80 times and had to be resuscitated.
Holy
and
shit.
I heard a CIA person say, actually, we sent her in because we wanted her to get a fucking handle on it because it was just like out of control. And she only waterboarded people 2 times or whatever. Fine. But she, at her hearing, refused to condemn.
Yeah, say it was immoral.
Yeah, she didn't say it was immoral, and she wouldn't say that it was impractical or that
it doesn't
work.
Which, if that was the case, if she was sent in to, like, get the shit under control,
then she failed.
She should have been coming out saying, we were fucking up and waterboarding a lot, and I came in and I said no.
Knocked that shit off.
Knocked that shit off, but
she
didn't.
And I only did 2 waterboards.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't do, like, 80, like, like fucking Rick or whatever.
And I fired that intern.
Yeah.
I fired that waterboarding intern.
Well, and the other tack that they're taking is now you have people trying to justify torture to make her look cleaner. Right. Because whether it's the be like, well, they're just sexist, which is the first argument right. they tried to do because she's, well, I mean, the torture's so ladylike. That the new thing is
real
that,
women torture.
Right. That they're trying to spin torture like Dick Cheney's dumb fucking ass came back out from the grave from the Death Star being yeah. like, well, we should like analyze it. I think, you know, it
there's
wasn't
an
really,
argument to be made for torture.
Yeah, it wasn't. Or he said it wasn't called. It wasn't considered torture back then. OK, buddy.
That's so not fucking
the
true.
The thing that right. people don't
and slaves
report
were important.
We were all alive. I remember waterboarding always being
yeah,
torture.
And, like,
but I feel like the thing that people don't report in the mainstream media is that it has been investigated. We've looked at whether it works or not, and it doesn't get you, you're no more likely to get accurate information. What you get is what they think you want to hear.
Yeah, to stop the pain.
If you break them, they will tell you what they think you want to hear. They won't, it has no bearing on the truth. Somebody pointed out that John McCain, while he's like against torture and therefore against Haspel, that he... on the other hand, is an example that torture works because yeah. he's like so, you know, shell-shocked from it or whatever. And actually, it didn't work. He says that he told the people who were torturing him and who asked for the names, he gave them the names of the Green Bay Packers offensive line.
I mean, regardless of whether or not he did or didn't,
right.
you know, the idea of just even like, this guy just went on TV and he's like, was like sort of maligning him, just being like, they called him Singing John or something
yeah.
like that. And it's like, first of all, don't get that. You don't need to get messy like that.
Yeah.
It was on Fox Business of all channels too. I don't know why they'll have those hot takes when they're, I don't know why on the business channel.
Day traders.
Yeah. But then even today, like it's weird how now just because John McCain has been such an outspoken critic of torture that even then there are people in the like White House who are like, oh, who cares? He's about to die anyway. Like that they're just saying shit like this, that now like it's just they know that this is a bad look to put someone up to be the head of the CIA who has like old like lifer career CIA operatives like screaming in the middle of confirmation about how
you
she's
suck.
Dangerous. Yeah, yeah. Like this is an abomination.
She's getting heckled in a hearing.
Dude, dislocated this old man's arm.
Because he was standing
CIA
up.
Yeah. agent.
Yeah, because yeah. he was like, yo, this is bullshit. This is fucked up. Like,
yeah,
you
and when the,
have
when the CIA operatives are saying this is fucked
yeah,
up,
and who knows
you know
what this guy
up.
Did in
yeah.
the 70s, like whatever the fuck
yeah,
he was
you know,
doing.
You know who's a good CIA agent is a terrible person. So like if a CIA agent is saying this woman does shit that's morally unacceptable, like that's so dark I don't want to think about it.
But it's also... I feel like the way that I've seen it covered in the mainstream media is that it's an unfortunate fact that this stuff works. And like sometimes
yeah.
you have to do it because it was after 9/11 and, you know, we had to be like get down to business. And it's
considered a necessary evil.
Right. And yeah. in addition to being shown to not work and just get you whatever they think you want to hear, it's been shown to be bad from a national security perspective
yeah,
because
propaganda.
it makes people hate us. It makes us seem like we think we're above international law because there is international law against it, which isn't great in a week when we are breaking our contracts with foreign countries. Yeah, and also, I mean, it's important for her to come out and disavow this as completely immoral because she's going to work for a commander-in-chief who has come out and said he thinks it's not wrong.
Yeah,
yeah, he has zero boundaries.
And he's like, kill the families.
Right.
Like, yeah. is his tactic to deal with terrorism.
Yeah, he's
like kill everybody.
He's like, I'd bring waterboarding back, and I'd bring a lot worse back. He specifically said that and said that, like, he thinks we should be torturing harder
I mean,
something.
It's just incredible how, you know, conservatives are framing this argument as the reason that we haven't won in the Middle East is not because of our long history of meddling in every single election, every single like self-determination attempt that every single country in the Middle East,
right.
you know, like our decades-long efforts to destabilize the Middle East and just draw all its oil out.
Right.
And he's like, no, the problem is that they hate our freedoms and we're not torturing hard enough.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? As if the reason that other countries hate us is just because we're America and
they
we're cool.
They hate us because they ain't us.
They hate us because they ain't us and it's...
It's
like,
so disingenuous. Well, yeah.
It's so disingenuous, and it's so like the idea that we're not winning because we're not torturing hard enough, rather than we're not winning because we caused all the problems
we
that we're fighting against anyway.
Yeah.
It's very reductive.
But see, Americans don't want to hear that.
Yeah,
you
know I mean? Know.
That's,
I
and
mean,
not to justify it, but that's, you know, it's course, like, that's yeah. just the hard shit, the hard facts yeah. of this country that it's hard for people to wrestle with that, yo, we, that like 90, like 99 out of 100 questions you can answer with, I think the U.S. did something.
And even Trump has come out and said that, yeah, one of his generals got to him and was like, yo, torture doesn't work, dude. Like,
right.
it just doesn't work. And so now he's changed his tune on that. But he still thinks it's, like, justified and that he should use it if it did work.
He just
so,
likes it.
Right. He just, it, whatever. But it's just insane that she wouldn't come out and say it was immoral. And NPR talked about this, like, it's a harsh but effective thing. And I don't know. There
but
just seems
not.
To be a supposedly liberal journalist who takes everything national security experts say to them as gospel because they feel insecure because the conservatives and hawks have made them feel like bitches for not wanting war or
right
something.
Yeah, if you're not for waterboarding then I guess you don't really care about America.
Right. Now granted, Haspel has come out and said she's not going to restart torturing people if she does get confirmed as the head of the CIA. The specific places she wouldn't budge are coming out and saying, you know, what was done when she was in charge of that black site was wrong and that torture was ineffective. Both things that I think are obviously
pretty,
true.
Pretty easy things to say.
Yeah.
Right. But
it was bad and ineffective,
yeah, bad.
So I won't do,
won't
it, again,
do it again.
Versus, but, like, it was fine. I won't do it, probably.
But the NPR reporter that I was listening to was like, well, those are big asks because, you know, that's asking her to come out and, you know, throw the people who she had worked with under the bus. And it's just like, this doesn't make you look tough. This doesn't make you look balanced. This just yeah. makes you look like an asshole. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And there was one of the great international sporting events.
Bigger than the Olympics.
Bigger than the Olympics. Bigger than, I mean, fuck, the NBA playoffs, bigger than the World Cup, is the annual game that's played in Russia where Putin fucking bangs on a bunch of fucking losers in hockey. So the fourth term emperor of Russia, he played in his annual match this year, and it's where he has basically won every time. So this year, his team is made up of former NHL players like fucking Pavel Bure and Slava Fedosov. Like,
Putin every year is like, time for me to play some hockey. And then he gets a team together of professional hockey players.
Former
professional Russian hockey players. And they play who?
They play an opposing team of amateurs, like a governor, brother amateurs, and a, quote, pro-Putin billionaire. Is who the opposition team is.
That's some fucking Bad News Bears.
Yeah. It's
that's an underdog story.
Fucking amazing, this game, when you watch the highlights, because this dude, the way they're defending him, it's like he has VX nerve agent coming off of his body. Like, they're not trying to get near him. Also, my man, you used to play hockey for many years. Your wrist shot is fucking sus, son. You got to get your wrist shot up. Also, the goalkeeper, how'd you let him go tweeners on you like that? It was just, there were so many goals that were scored, like, in a way that I was cringing for the people who, like, had to even, quote unquote, defend him.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is how he gets down. This is how you flex on the country. Let him know that, yeah, big dogs in charge. He's scoring wild goals, 5 goals in this game. But you can tell his 65 years of age is catching up to him, because if you look, last year, he scored 7 goals. Ooh. Okay. 2015, scored fucking 8.
Wow.
So, you know, he's getting up there, but still a Warriors.
He's feeling it in the knees.
A Warriors performance he gave against a team of amateurs.
How many years before you think we have this same...
With Trump?
Yeah,
I hope zero. I hope it happens immediately, because can you imagine that slow motion video of Trump jogging around a court, like, just, it's like a net bag full of water balloons, just like swaying and jiggling.
His body is only built for golf. That's the only thing
he can barely walk off a private jet.
He can play baseball.
He can't run.
I bet he could convince himself that he could play baseball, because I think there was at a certain point where he said that he was like one of the great baseball players.
Yeah.
Of,
you should see me turn two. Oh yeah. My God.
Well, y'all seen that ass.
Right. Oh yeah. I mean, he has baseball ass. So,
like, let's get that ass in some basketball shorts. Ooh. And let's get it on the court. Let's get him and LeBron the same place.
It should be him, fucking, what's the little racist troll dude's name who grew up in Santa Monica? Stephen Miller.
Oh yeah.
Him, Stephen Miller, Seb Gorka, Mike Pence,
Sarah
Huckabee Sanders versus Cheryl Swoops, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Skip to My Lou from the N1 mixtape tour, Hot Sauce, and just like fucking twist these suckers up. Oh my God, that would be hilarious, but it won't happen because
gorgeous.
Are we far off? Maybe not from seeing this kind of shit, because that's precisely the kind of thing.
Look, if
Trump
we're gonna live
see.
In a dystopia, I want the fun part.
Right.
Yeah, I want the fun part. I want to see the president out of breath. I want to see him throw up courtside from jogging 3 steps.
Not going to see that. He would probably sooner make up a sport that is uniquely suited to him. Like, first, you're going to see how many Big Macs you can eat. And then you're going to hit 1 golf ball. Then you are going to pick out a wife and then destroy evidence.
Right. All right. It's time for our weekly segment of Bloid Watch.
Bloid Watch.
So there's some big news in the world of Brad Pitt.
Depending on which magazine,
at least the tabloids are claiming that the tabloids decided we need a big Brad Pitt story this week. They couldn't get their stories together. So on one cover, it is that Brad got somebody pregnant. It's not his MIT girlfriend. They say it's not.
He's got an MIT
Angelina,
girlfriend?
Yeah, a professor.
He was dating a professor at
Ooh.
MIT, supposedly.
Well, good job her.
Yeah. But this
good
is based on a anonymous source, and also the fact that some of Star Magazine's like celeb watchers saw him out and about, and he seemed stressed about something.
Mm.
He had his hand on his stomach, patting his stomach,
okay.
which as we know from, you know, soap operas, if a woman touches her stomach and like looks off pensively,
yes,
that means she's pregnant. So apparently the transitive property says the same thing about Brad Pitt.
I don't wash my stomach because I don't want to get pregnant. I don't touch it. I don't look at it.
Yeah. No, this is how they also said he has puffy eyes, more gray hairs on his beard than normal. Those are all the signs. I mean, that's how
that he got some random.
That's how my wife
pregnant.
Learned that we were pregnant yeah. was that I was touching my stomach.
She was like, "Should I get a pregnancy test?" And you were like, "No, no, no. I got
Look
some grays."
Look at these eyes.
Hold on. Oh my God, I'm pregnant, Jack. Wait, are you touching your stomach? Wait, on that. Oh God.
Oh
my God.
Lots of women don't know
amazing.
If you look at a man while touching your stomach, he has impregnated you.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
I'm now having Miles' Facts. Baby because we made eye contact.
I just closed my eyes
while I was touching my stomach.
I've got a lot of women pregnant like that.
In Touch magazine, the cover story is that Brad going to get Jen pregnant.
Wait, so on one side, he knocked up a random woman, mm-hmm. but we don't know who it is, and the only evidence we have is that he walked down the street looking like shit. Right. And then in another magazine is him and Jennifer Aniston going to have a fucking kid.
The cover story is specifically, let's have a baby, Brad and Jen. And it's a picture of them together from like
200 years ago.
15 years ago when they were actually a couple. A 2006 interview with Jennifer Aniston has a quote saying that women who inspire her have kids and a career. A 2006 interview that they dug up with Jennifer Aniston said that she is inspired by women who have both kids and a career.
Oh, okay.
And they found a friend, an anonymous friend, obviously,
it's
of Jennifer
me.
Aniston, who says that they could do IVF. So, you know, because she's a little older. And
wait, so that just
as of yet, so we've been reporting on this story about Brad and Jen. They moved in together. Jen is really getting along with his children that
gifts.
He had with Angie. Now they're deciding that they're going to have kids potentially,
because he doesn't
IVF.
Have enough.
We still have no proof that they've even seen each other since he got a divorce from
Jack, we've
you're missing the point, Jack.
Anonymous sources have claimed. She saw an interview where she said she would like to have kids
in
and a
2006.
Career. Yeah. So and she might do IVF.
Right.
All right. Print it.
Yep.
Is this all just because the tabloids don't want to talk about Kanye? Like, why not? I don't understand why Kanye's not the cover story.
It's too thought-provoking.
Well, and it's also, yeah. you know, these are mostly owned by American Media Inc., which is run by David Pecker, who is Trump's homie. And,
nice.
You know, what is there to say about Kanye other than that he's right? You know,
he got it. That's Kanye got it. He gets it. He got it.
Kanye woke up.
Right.
And mm-hmm. now we can talk about the real important shit, which is whether Jennifer Aniston is going to get IVF or not.
Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we've seen actual stories where it's very clear that these are either written specifically in Trump's voice for Trump's eyes. You know, like they're just like Hillary Clinton, bad person. She deserves to go to jail. It's like all just word for word, like the
she
stuff
had an affair
you would hear.
With Satan.
Right. And yeah, so, and then OK Magazine tells us that Katie and Jamie are getting married.
Who's Katie and Jamie?
Katie Holmes and Jamie Foxx.
Come on.
What?
Magic hairline Jamie Foxx. And Katie Holmes tying the knot.
Jamie Foxx. Oh, so happy for him.
And we know it's true because it's according to a source. Jamie and Suri are apparently best friends, according to a source. And it would happen in France and be a low-key affair. Likely her dress will be designed by a friend of hers who's a designer named Zach, who I don't know his name.
Zach Posen?
Yes. And that's it. No other sourcing. So
it's happening.
All the intriguing celebrity news that you see on the covers of this week's tabloids are based on anonymous sources or, that's it. Just anonymous sources.
And like the royal wedding stuff
fanfic,
is, I think, must have not sold many magazines because it's starting to die off. Well, not really.
I'm happy to talk about American celebrities. I don't want to hear shit about Meghan Markle anymore.
You're saying Meghan Markle isn't an American celebrity?
I know
celebrity.
She's an American
Come
celebrity,
on.
But her celebrity is tied to the British royal family, which I am, in general, not a huge fan of.
All right. Anything? Any other story we wanted to hit?
Any other story? There's one about, like, I think it says Kanye, like, left Kim or something in a fight. Really, they just describe that Kim's like, you're fucking up our brand. And he had to go somewhere. So he left her. I mean, technically, he did leave her to go somewhere. So.
I love that the tabloid story is just Kanye being like, I'm going. She's like, where are you going? And he's like, out.
I'm traveling somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't leave me.
Sarah, it has been a pleasure having you.
It has been a pleasure being here, Jack.
Where can people hear more from you?
You could go to my website, heysarahjune.com. You can also go to leftcoastpodcast.com to find links to listen to Left Coast and donate to the Patreon, please.
Yeah.
Because I need that cash. I'm also I'm going up the coast the next couple weeks. I have some stand-up shows in San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Olympia. If you live in any of those places, please come see me.
Yeah, yeah. No, the Zeitgang is strong in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh,
so
yeah. And
please
check her out.
Come see Sarah June.
Sarah June. Hey, SarahJune.com. All my show dates are there. All my other shit. Check it out.
Also, you know what? If y'all know Nyan Cat, why don't you hook the sister up with a buck or something?
Hey, guess what my Venmo is? Hey, Sarah June.
Oh, see?
You can give me money at
any
time of day.
And no bullshit. I have to always underline this. The fucking phenomenon is Nyan Cat. We don't even talk about that because that's like so down the list of what you
do. That's 2011 Zeitgeist.
That's forgotten.
That's forgotten.
But at the same way, massive contributions to the Zeitgeist.
Thank you so much.
Only you.
My pleasure.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Go watch Age Gap Love.
Thank you.
Miles, where can people find
you? You can find me. Oh my God, stressed out moving this weekend. So if you see me in the valley sweating, just please leave me alone. I'm going through a very hard time moving.
Where can you find Miles? Don't.
Yeah, don't.
He's busy.
I'm fucking busy, but I'm also on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as
Not Anonymous,
the song that we write out on Miles. What's that going to be today?
Oh, man. Gosh. You know what? I want to do a little J Dilla produced song by De La Soul. Verbal clap. J Dilla flips it and reverses it, rubs it down, and, you know, kick off your Saturday or Friday whenever you listen to this. A little bit of verbal clap.
That's going to do it for this week. We will be back on Monday. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Gave you the bomb, so how you gonna hate us? We creators of the East Coast storms. If you ask me, I tell you there's no comp, but I'm still humble even though I will crumble hard. Some call them songs, I call them words from me. They take long to cook, so some feel free and saying that we don't hunger for beats. Not that we not hungry, just picky in what we eat. Keep food off the mind and keep weight off the body. All you gotta do is keep my name out your mouth and stop frowning like you hostile. You know that it's a booger rubbing up against your nostril, nigga. How you figure you can play this rap game without the backbone? It's Macy O'Day, wonder why I give it what you lack.
Hey, yo, prepare yourself for the neutron, bitch. This is 86, let that neo rap go. We present these flares to put fire to your ears till they smoke like rusty exhaust pipes. We run mics, let Sean run the marathon. Yo, raise that money, son, we raising these kids. Get claps, curtains closed, stage left. Up your stamina, baby, brace your breath. SAT, book smart, part SA, looking like tone. Street niggas get grown. Acquire more proof before you get cool. I get some shells sent over to your mic booth. Excuse my delivery, but when peace don't work, see this peace gon' work. Cock, aim, and shoot. It's my constitutional right to bear arms. Arms and bare hands on mics, make fans unite. Woodstock and white folks involved. Black man, get on your jaw. Just bring your beats and
inspiration on his fate on the mic. Them verbs, they keep coming. I'm hated on my niggas I love most. So what threat could you possibly pose when I'm on your coast? So raise your guns or your glasses. Either way, there'll be a toast in the air. Marking up return, a bare minimum. You need to learn. Get your verbs right when you down to class.
See that gunpowder caliber rack for tip hats like gentlemen do. Splash tenements and skyscrapers. Bow tie paper, stack high. Pay the resident tax and get your street sweep. Front row, backstage on the cheap seats. I dodge ricochets like Ram trucks. You slow poke the bullet. And I suppose the bullet pop the Billboard chart. Man, I toast these rather than pop like pop tarts. Let's go beat for beat and rhyme for rhyme.
Put all things aside.
Just bring your beat and bring your rhymes.
Put all things aside.
Let's go beat for beat, y'all, and rhyme for rhyme.
Put all things aside.
Just bring your beat and bring your rhymes.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.